This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 205. If you're listening to KMOX on 1120 at any point throughout the day or the evening, you can listen to 98.7 FM. As long as you're in St. Louis, it's going to be a much clearer, beefier signal. You can also listen to us streaming live at Odyssey.com. You can also podcast there or wherever you get your podcasts. It's really easy to download. I'm as big a tech idiot as you're going to meet all week, and I was able to do it and navigate my way through. Also, when you're on the Odyssey app, when you're looking at the KMOX logo, just to the right of Listen Live, it says leave a message. You can do that anytime during any of the shows. We would love for you to do that. We'd love for you to call anytime, too, at 314-436-7900. Never be shy about that. And if you want to leave a message, it goes straight to Andrew. It could be something that we're talking about, and we can get you on directly. Or it could be something, hey, yesterday so-and-so said this, and I agree, I disagree. Speaking of disagreeing, Andrew, you have a sword to cross with your friend Kevin Wheeler.
Yeah, I meant to bring this up yesterday, but it slipped my mind with everything else going on. Kevin, you said you were talking about the Deshaun Watson stuff on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
And you were saying that you thought it was low class of the Browns to be celebrating something right after
So
their guy got hurt.
So Deshaun Watson tore his Achilles during the game, and within minutes of that, the Browns' official Browns Twitter account run by the team tweeted something like, let's go. I thought that's pretty crappy in part because, yeah, look, we all agreed Deshaun Watson's a piece of crap. For those that don't know the story, he's been accused by, I don't even know how many women, dozens of sexual assault related to massages and things along these lines. He's not a good guy. But after those allegations came out, the Cleveland Browns traded for him, let him sit out during his suspension, and gave him a new contract before the suspension so that he would get paid, right? And they paid him stupid, stupid money, like top end of the quarterback market money, to go get a guy that's been accused of sexual assault millions of times. Why does the team get to celebrate this like they didn't have a part in him being in the position where he's their starting quarterback?
Well, I guess I'm not understanding. Do you think, was your impression that they were celebrating the injury, or that they just didn't care about the injury, or what was your problem?
It comes across as, because he's been terrible, It comes across like, thank God he doesn't have to play anymore. Which is, by the way, what fans are thinking, and I don't have a problem with any fan tweeting that. But when you're the team that traded for a guy accused of all of those things and then gave him a record contract and gave up all kinds of first-round draft picks, and they are locked in, they cannot cut him. If they cut him, it's like a $75 million cap hit for each of the next two or three years. So they did that to their team. I don't think I just think that's low end. And I think other players will look at that and say, no, thank you. I don't want to play for a team that's going to do that.
And you disagree?
I was just surprised to see Kevin say that, because Kevin has traditionally been the king of, if you're a bad person, it doesn't matter what kind of an athlete you are, I will not celebrate you.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I hate the guy. I would never celebrate a thing that he did. But I don't like
I think it's always okay to be happy if something bad happens to Deshaun Watson.
And that's fine.
One of the worst people maybe ever in professional sports.
Yeah, I think the difference is who's doing it. If a fan does it, millions of fans did it, I don't care. That's fine. Have fun. Make your jokes. You know, he's a bad guy. If something bad happens to him, it's karma. But the team cannot pretend that they are not an equal problem here. That's my point. This situation exists because the owner of the team and the front office traded first-round draft picks for a guy that had been accused by at least 10, 12 women of inappropriate contact. And they traded for him and then paid him to be their franchise quarterback, you don't get to act like you're not part of the problem. That's my beef. Because the team is just as big a bad guy in this as the player is. Well, not just as big because they didn't commit the crime, but they certainly condoned the crime. They certainly were like, we're fine with this.
Me agree now?
Yeah. Okay. This is a good explanation.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that.
Mediation.
Wow. Just bringing them together.
Yeah. And this is, by the way, this is also why Twitter is hard. Because
yeah, see,
if you do anything quickly, it leaves a lot open to interpretation.
Yeah, it's tough because the context in which Kevin meant it is a bit different than the context in which I received it.
Right.
And that context made a pretty big difference to the actual point that he was trying to make, which is that while it's fine to celebrate a bad thing happening to a horrible person, for the team to be doing it as though the team is not
culpable, yeah,
like he said, just as much a part of this bad person being in this horrible situation for this team, they have ruined this team for potentially years to come.
Yep.
In favor of giving as much money as humanly possible to, like I said, one of the worst people ever in professional sports. They shouldn't be going like, yeah, guys, we did it. Now we get to not play him.
Yeah, I think that the problem here is that the team is not connected in any way to the crimes, right? They have nothing to do with what he did, with what Deshaun Watson did. But they condoned it by saying, yep, we know about all that. We're still going to trade for you, and we're still going to give you a record-breaking contract to make you the centerpiece of our team. You're a bad guy in this. You don't get to celebrate.
So speaking of Twitter X, Jelly Roll, the country singer rapper, just got off of it and said to the effect it's an absolute black hole of nasty negativeness. You guys agree with that? Like,
yep.
I never see Twitter.
Yeah, I've been trying to spend, hasn't really been working, but I've been trying to spend less time there. I got on Blue Sky, which is the new Twitter alternative. It is a much nicer place over there. There's a lot of less of the like forced, like, you know, far right extremism
I'm not calling anyone out here, truly not. But do you have any guilt, sheepishness, weirdness of supporting something that's Elon Musk since you hate him so much?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's been a struggle. That's why so many people, I think, have left Twitter. Because eventually, no matter how much you like Twitter or no matter how much time you spend there or have spent there, eventually you do just kind of hit a limit with how bad it's getting over there in terms of, like, just being, like I said, being forced to look at, like, very far-right extremism and racism all day. And eventually you just go, like, you know what? I don't actually have to do this.
Well, we're speaking of Elon. You want to jump in on the $1 million prize?
Sure, yeah, we can do that. And by the way, I'm on Twitter literally all day, every day, and there's plenty of terrible, but a lot of it is based on what you follow. I don't follow any political stuff on there, very little anyway, some news outlets, but I'm mostly there on my sports stuff. And it still serves the purpose better than other places can, but the minute that there's an alternative that's better, I'm out. Like, the minute there's one that's an equal, I'm out, because it is, like, they're removing the block feature. So that even if you block someone, well, no, they're just taking it away, which is, I mean, come on, the reason people block people is so that they're not harassed, and you're just basically saying, well, too bad. They can still see your content. No big deal. And plus, yeah, I can't stand Elon. But you guys see that, I mean, we've all been seeing this story about his plan to give away $1 million a day for people that will sign the petition. To sign the petition, you have to register to vote. And it is illegal in the United States of America to pay anyone. Here's what it says. This is what the federal law says. It is a crime for anyone to, quote, pay or offer to pay or accept payment either for registration to vote or for voting.
Sounds pretty clear.
And, well, I'm sure their end around is, well, we're only paying them to sign the petition. But to sign it, you have to be a registered voter. So that's not a very good end around, if you ask me. There are legal scholars all over the place that are saying this is highly illegal to be giving away money, even in a case where it's not like we're paying every person.
The letter of the law and the spirit of the law.
Right.
And I don't think any reasonable American wants either side having lotteries related to voting. I wouldn't think so.
No, and that's kind of the point, right? And This is this act is punishable by up to 5 years in prison per act. Good. Now, does anybody actually think that's going to happen?
No.
Does anybody think there's anything going to happen to Elon Musk as a result of this?
Nope.
Because to me, this is the biggest danger to us as a nation.
But
is letting super wealthy people influence everyone else too much?
If someone had $5 million to their name and decided to do this, I'm going to give five people $1 million who support my cause. That guy could go to jail.
Yeah, in a lot of states, by the way, it's illegal to conduct any kind of lottery without it being approved by the state, without going through the form, even for charities. In fact, I think that's true here. I don't think you can do a lottery even for a charity here without some kind of a permission or some kind of specific designation for your charitable event. You've got that separate issue. But the idea that anyone, and this is an Elon story. This could be literally any rich person. I don't care who they are or what their political ideology is. You do not want to keep putting more and more money in the world of politics and allow influence. Because this is, every single one of these steps is allowing those people who already have immense power, who already donate to candidates on both parties, by the way. You think these billionaires don't donate to both Republicans and Democrats? You're crazy. They do, because they want to have a foot in the door no matter who wins.
Let's get Dave on line one. Dave, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
So how is this different than Biden paying people $10,000-$20,000 to pay off their student loans in defiance of the Supreme Court?
How is it different than what?
Biden paying off people's student loans.
How is that any different than any presidential administration bailing out any industry?
Well, that's not right either.
Well, those are things that are buying votes. It's buying votes then if you're going to be raising the minimum wage. Anything would be buying votes because you're always pleasing someone.
Yeah,
right?
Except you're targeting a group that's likely to vote for you.
Oh, right. So if somebody targets the AARP and wants to say, we're going to give you more benefits, that's not buying votes?
Yeah, but...
I mean, again, so the argument here is in what way are you doing this, right? So if somebody who is in the government is exercising powers given to them in their role... It's obvious. Everything is political, right? Everything has an agenda. You're always trying to please someone. Why did Donald Trump want to appoint certain Supreme Court justices? Because it would please a lot of people that supported him. That's normal. That's the way things work in politics. It works that way for Joe Biden, too. And the difference is a private citizen clearly breaking a law as opposed to people in politics who have. Now, by the way, I want to argue this first. I want to say this. I do not think presidents should be able to do anything by fiat. I do not like presidential orders. I think that circumvents the checks and balances that are supposed to exist by having a legislative branch. So I want to be clear, blanket across the board, the abuse of presidential power has been broad and have been used by both parties for too long. These executive orders, which, by the way, will be rescinded the minute you're out of office, but these executive orders are a problem. We should be legislating these things. The problem is we can't because nobody in the legislative branch wants to work together to get anything done. But the exercising powers is different than saying, here's cash if you do this thing to vote. It's just blatantly against the law.
224 DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday. Razor's Edge.
Yeah, I have a follow-up on your Ariana Grande complaint from yesterday,
Dave.
Oh,
excellent.
So apparently this thing with Elvira happened a long time ago. It happened like 10 years ago or something.
Hmm.
And so it wasn't like last weekend and Elvira just decided to speak out about it. She was, I guess, giving an interview and Ariana Grande's hot right now because Wicked is coming out. And so she shared her story of she felt snubbed. Ariana Grande Sunday has replied to Elvira. And she had me in the first half of this apology, I'm not going to lie. And then she just completely ruins it
by
the end.
People are so bad at apologizing.
They're so bad. So she wrote on Instagram, she wrote, "I'm so disheartened to see this. I actually don't even remember getting the chance to meet you because I had an anxiety attack and to my memory left before the rest of my family. This is around 7 years ago." Okay, so 7 years ago. "And at the time, I was really not great with being in public crowds or loud places." Which is fair because she had that concert that had the terrorist attack. So, okay. It's like, "Ariana, we believe you. This is great that you're reaching out and apologizing," right? She then continues and says, "But if I'm misremembering this moment, I sincerely apologize for offending you. Thank you for being so nice to my mom. She told me how lovely you were. She might have different feelings about that now, but I'll talk to her. Clearly, we all have our days. Sending love always. You'll always be our queen of Halloween."
Didn't need that.
Didn't need the clearly we all have our days thing. It's like you just ruined it. You made it feel so insincere.
Why is it? Is it insecurity? Is it protecting the castle? Why is it so difficult for people to just apologize?
I don't know. I struggle with it. When I'm wrong, I tend to be like, "I'm sorry you feel that." You know, I think it's just human nature. We don't want to admit that we are the bad person in that moment. We don't want to admit that we had a fault, because what happens if you open up and you're vulnerable and you say, "Yeah, that was 100% me," then you might have to live with the consequences. So you put up this armor. Generally, it is better to just let your guard down and say, "Yeah, I was wrong for this." But I think it's just human nature to just put that guard up and to try to wiggle out of it as much as we possibly can.
Do you have trouble with that, Wheels?
If you're talking about like in the middle of an argument or a debate, well, I don't usually see it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't see that I'm off or I'm wrong, but I always figure it out later on. And if I am wrong, I don't have a problem. I'm wrong all the time. I mean,
do you go to the person and apologize?
If it's worthy of that, right? Sometimes it's just a dumb thing and it's not worthy of it. Other times, yeah.
Wheels brings up such a great point, though, because I'm the same way. If I'm in an argument, it's hard for me to see what I'm doing to contribute to whatever's happening. And I think that's just human nature. I think that's our defense going up like, "Hey, you're having these emotions, so they obviously are the truth and they mean something." So it's really hard to see past that. Mm-hmm. So someone like Ariana Grande, even, you know, someone at that level of stardom, she's obviously a much bigger star than Elvira is in the year 2024.
Not for me.
She could have just said sorry, but she just had to get that little snarky comment in there and just avoid accountability if she possibly could.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Favorite NXS song of all time? You know, they did the show one time? It was after Michael passed away, but it was only like 2 months after he passed away.
Wow.
Back when I was over at Emmis, they were the coolest guys. They were so cool. They just like seemed happy to be there. You know what? Most rock guys, the only ones I ever had that had attitude was Matchbox 20, of all people. They asked for a rider. They needed like matcha tea and all this kind of stuff. And we went out and we bought it and spent a couple $100 on it. Didn't touch it. And then just like real standoffish. Yeah. Although I love that band, seen them several times. But like the big ones, at least to my era, like Thin Lizzy and Night Ranger and NXS, they were the coolest guys. I got Subway sandwiches with Night Ranger. Kelly Keggy's like, "You want to go to Subway with us?" I'm like, "Yes, Kelly Keggy, I will come get it. I will visit the sandwich artist with you."
Did you remember the NXS reality show?
I do, where they're looking for the new lead singer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rockstar NXS.
Yep. And they had hired the lead singer back then, looked just like Michael, and he was Michael's best friend from Australia.
Whoa.
That's
yeah. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
Kind of neat.
Was he in the band when he passed away?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Very sad.
Yeah.
So sad.
Oh, yeah. Horrible.
Yeah. You know what else is sad? You know, life can be a dickin' sometimes, and I have shared. I'm always very honest about my mental health and my mental health struggles, and I shared a few months ago that I had been tested, and I have the genetic marker for Alzheimer's, which is what my dad died from, and his brother, and it's all through the Glover family, and 70, 72 seems to be the magic number. I'm 60, do the math, and I saw an article today where one of the worst things you can do for your brain health or to hasten dementia is worrying.
Oh, that's not good.
Well, what the hell do you want me to do? It's like, hey, by the way, you have the genetic marker. You have like a 75% chance of developing this, but don't worry because it'll make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
That's a screw-in.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to think about it.
Yeah, just put it in the back of your mind.
That's one hell of a conundrum.
Right? Yeah. Don't think about thinking about it. Don't worry about worrying about it.
Man.
Would you guys want to know if you had a marker? It didn't have to be for that. It could be breast cancer. It could be diabetes.
Yeah. I mean, at least it gives you some ability to prepare.
That's what I thought, too.
Do whatever you can, right? I mean, there's with every disease, with every medical issue, there's only a limit to what you can do. But at least then you can do it.
And when you are 60 and the magic number is 70-72 and you know you have the marker, every time you go, the lead singer of NXS, Michael Hutchins, you're like, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Yeah.
Start the clock. So many people out there in the audience, similarly situated. There you go. You just saw it happen. Which is why I'm so open about it, because there's so many people who struggle with the things that I struggle with.
Yeah.
Who don't have a voice, you know. Or they feel, I could never mention this. I could never say this. So,
or you wonder if you're the only one, or if you're, you know, not, yeah. If there aren't a lot of people that are dealing with the same thing.
Yes.
In most cases, there are a lot of people dealing with things.
My big hope, and it's a really big hope, is that we're working on something now that's something akin to a cure, or maybe buys you another 10 years. That makes me crazy. That's one thing I'd like to see, and maybe it is a part of the law and I just don't know it, but for people who, say, for example, I were 68 instead of 60, and I was early onset Alzheimer's, and there's a drug, but not FDA approved, give me the GD drug.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What? I have nothing to lose. If the drug kills me, that's my decision. Just whether it's a experimental cancer treatment, everyone should have that option.
Yep.
I think. Stairway to Kevin?
Sure. Why don't we do a quick thing here, since there's been a lot of news on the Cardinals today, and John Mozeliak spoke just a little bit ago. I think he did a press conference via Zoom at 2:00. Just to make a bunch of these are all kind of like, these are not mind-blowing moves, but these are the kind of things that are happening now with the downtime leading up to Game 1 of the World Series. So the Cardinals have a new hitting coach. That's been announced. John Jay is back on the staff. They've hired an assistant GM who's going to be in charge of player personnel. So I guess dealer's choice. Where would you like to go first? Because
assistant GM, they will be supporting Mozeliak for a year,
and Heim Bloom. Yeah,
who's that guy?
So this guy is Rob Serfolio, and he's going to be in charge of player development. That's his title, assistant general manager, player development, like with a focus there. He comes from Cleveland. And he's been with Cleveland. I think Cleveland was his first job, like out of college. He's a Harvard guy. Started as an intern with Cleveland, worked his way up to where he was in charge of their player development. The Cardinals are giving him a promotion to come here. He was in demand. The Cardinals were not the only team trying to hire him away from Cleveland. They had to win the battle, so to speak. But Cleveland is one of the model franchises for player development, especially pitching. They have been one of the best at developing pitchers, not only finding and identifying talent, but molding that talent and making it better in the new modern ways. And they've had that's why they're good every year, because they don't have a payroll. They're a low revenue team. They're, you know, bottom 10 payroll most years, but they've been a pretty consistently quality team because they churn out their own players, but specifically pitching. They are really good at that. So he's considered, I think it's a good hire. You never truly know, but keeping in mind that it's an assistant GM position, right? This is not the president of baseball operations. This is not the guy in charge. This is the guy working for the guy who's working for the other guy,
gotcha.
Right? Right now, Heim Bloom works for Mo. Next year, Heim Bloom becomes Mo. And this job will probably be similar. He's in charge of player development. So this is, I think, a smart hire, but keeping in mind that this is not the top-level hire.
Can I ask what many in Cardinals Nation will think is a blasphemous question? Why not trade Arenado now? Because if the answer is, well, his stock price would be low because he hasn't been playing well the next 2 years, it's probably going to be a lot lower next year or the year after. And I know he has he has to okay the trade. But if he, like you always talk about the numbers, that he's an average third baseman, an average hitter, or an above
average. This year
he
was.
Yes. And the year before was below that. Why not trade him now and get a whole bunch of prospects or a really good pitcher and get rid of the $75 million, whatever it is, he's going to be paid? I'm sure they've entertained all options, but why is that not a viable one?
So if you go through the list of things, I mean, number one, he has to approve any deal.
Right.
Which limits who you can negotiate with. Right. So instead of having 29 other teams you can market him to, it's going to be whatever he says he's going to do. Or you can just waste the time, spend the time talking to everyone and then take the deal to him at the end and see if he signs off on it. But that could just be waste. Right. The Cardinals kind of did that with Giancarlo Stanton. They made the trade with Miami. They agreed on the deal. And then Stanton said, nope, don't want to go to St. Louis. I want to go to New York or L.A. And he ended up going to New York. So you can go the whole route, do that, and then present the option after the fact, or you can go up front and say, hey, where would you go? Where would you be okay with playing? But now you're limiting the bidding, right? Then you throw on top of that the money. Now, the money is only three more years, right? It's not like you're talking about adding 8 to 10 more years. It's three more years, and the Rockies are still paying, I think, $5 million a year for the next 2 years. So you're offering up essentially what is about $27, $28 million a year for those 2 years, plus a $15 million contract at the end of that. So essentially we're looking at about $70, $75 million that a team would take on. They're not going to take that and give you good players. If they're going to give you good players, you have to eat the money, or at least eat part of it.
At best, just getting rid of them.
Well, I mean, you could get rid of some of that money, right? Like, so example, let's say you could get a team to give you a couple of good players, prospects, if you eat half of it. You can do that. You can pay half of that money and essentially purchase prospects. But then the question becomes, how many teams that are in the group of teams that he would approve are willing to need a third baseman, right? Number one, need a third baseman. Number two, are okay with the player that's gone backward offensively the last 2 years. Number three, give up anything good for him. I mean, that, again, you get into the point where the difficulty is finding leverage points to get something that makes it worth your while. And then you think about the question is, all right, who plays third base if he goes? Probably Nolan Gorman, maybe Brendan Donovan, but some combination of those guys for now. But you'll have a long-term question to answer there. And again, maybe it is Nolan Gorman. Now, it's his natural position. That's where he was drafted. That's where he played in the minor leagues before they moved him to second base when he got to the big leagues.
Why am I so down on Gorman?
Because he finished terribly. It's the last thing you remember. You know, I mean, like, it's not hard. That's a normal thing to me. I mean, all of us, kind of the last thing that you remember is how your feelings are about it, especially when it comes to sports. The last thing we remember is him striking out nonstop and then being sent down. If you look at the entirety of his career, first of all, he's only 24. So he'll be 25 next season. That'll be his age 25 season.
He could legit still be in Triple A.
And he's got 60 home runs. Aaron Judge was not a major league player at age 24, or had just broken in. And, you know, Nolan Gorman's got 60 home runs at age 24 and in total has been a league average hitter. Now, that was mostly because this past year stunk. The 2 years before that, he was a pretty well above average hitter. So the idea is he's young and he's had a crappy year. He had a crappy finish to a year, and there's no reason why you can't rehabilitate that and get it back on track. I mean, that's the way I would look at it. That's the way I currently look at it. And if I were the team, that's how I'd look at it.
So I know what the Cardinals are doing is not what a lot of fans wanted. They wanted big and bombastic and you know, changes right now that would lead to a better 2025. Are you happy with them?
The direction's the correct direction, because the way that they've been doing it's not going to keep working. And we're seeing it. I mean, they haven't been advancing in the playoffs even when they do make the playoffs. You know, what we've been watching is Band-Aids continuously being put on when you probably need surgery. You know, and that's what they're doing right now. They're doing surgery. They're hiring a new player development guy. They're going out and getting a new hitting coach. You know, they're going to cut the payroll back initially. And my question, I mentioned this on our roundtable yesterday. I think the payroll question should not be anybody's concern in 2025. No Cardinals fans should care what their payroll is next year. It doesn't matter. But what does matter is once you go through this reset that they're doing, do you get back to where you were before? Because that's what matters. There's no reason why this team shouldn't get back to the norm of being in the top 8, 10, 12 payrolls in baseball once the TV situation is settled, which it's not going to be before 2025 most likely, at least in terms of long-term contract, right? So you're going to have some uncertainty with the money there. You do need to, for getting money, for a baseball standpoint, you need to reset your roster and you need to reset how you're developing players. To find out what Nolan Gorman is and what Jordan Walker is, they need to play every day in the major leagues, whether they struggle or not. They need to get 600 at-bats. If you're not going to give them that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get rid of them, and it's another Randy Arozarena. It's another Adolis Garcia. It's another guy that goes somewhere else because you just didn't give it the time.
Is it just that the Cardinals are so understandably terrified of losing seasons, whereas other teams are not?
They are, because a big part of the Cardinals' revenue model has always been big attendance. It's one of the reasons why they've always continued to try to be good. But
I know you don't want to victim blame or fan blame, but do you blame a little bit on the fandom?
Not really.
For not being more patient?
No, I don't, because you're being told every year that you're a contender. You know, when the team's message is, our goal is to make the playoffs and make a run. Our goal is to be a contender every year. Well, then that's what fans should expect. I mean, think about any business. You go to a restaurant and they tell you, this is what you're getting for your money. You expect to get it.
That's
and if
point.
You don't, and if you don't get it, you're not going to be very happy.
Yeah, fair point.
So I think it's, I mean, that's exactly it. Which, by the way, now, this year, that's why I'm saying the thing about payroll now. I don't care what a team's payroll is. Just show me how many wins you've got. Show me your ability to go in deep into a postseason. But for this year in particular, the payroll doesn't matter. But what it will matter again, at some point, the Cardinals need to return to being what they've been once they've kind of, what's the right way to put this? I mean, we keep saying the word reset, but once they have gotten themselves back to level where you're not chasing, you know, chasing an innings-eating fourth starter for $12 million, you got to stop that.
Yeah.
Because what you need to do is pool money to get better players at the top end and fill in the back end with your young players that are going to be inexpensive.
Stick around. At the top of the hour, we're going to have Pat and Danny Liston along with Dickie from Mama's Pride. They're doing a show coming up Saturday, November 23rd. I will be front and center at the pageant. They're playing their first two albums in full. That's really cool. Hopefully they're going to play a couple songs for us in the next hour. Welcome back, guys. DGS. I was a little bit late. I had to run back here because I was talking to the boys from Mama's Pride back there. I'm excited about this show.
Nice.
You probably don't know anything about Mama's Pride, do you?
Not much. I think we've been in since I've
been
here.
Yeah, they've been in.
Yeah.
So these guys, they're a huge band. When I was a kid, they're not that much older than me, but when I was like a teenager, they were playing the circuit around town and they were it. People going to see Mama's Pride at this place and that place. And then they were discovered by Van Zandt from probably the mid-late 70s. And they were going to go on tour with them. And then they had the plane crash.
Right. Right.
And that they never made it huge nationally, but they were literally like right there on the step.
Yeah, we were that was it last year they were in?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's cool
crazy
that Danny
story.
Was in last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, Danny. Cool. Danny's
oh, that's
in
who it was.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, Pat's done the show a million times, but they haven't done it together in a really long time.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I've ever. I've met Pat and I've met Danny. I don't know if I've ever been in the same room.
No, get
as
ready.
The two of them.
It's going to be like Wheeler and Amy debating. So. But no, I'm excited. So this
yeah,
is two,
really cool.
Two shows I'm going to. I'm going to go to see Mama's Pride, and then I just got my tickets for El Monstero. You can get those tickets now. And yeah, I'm excited. I got really good tickets. Really good tickets.
That's fun.
Looking forward to it.
Man, how'd you get good tickets?
I know people. I know Tom Ackerman.
Hey, Tom's the guy to know.
Drop Tom's name.
Aki will take care of it. I'm not sure if you know that I know Mr. Tom Ackerman.
But, not only do I know him, but we're friends.
We're like besties.
Well, of course, here are your front row tickets, sir.
Here you go. Tell Mr. Ackerman to put in a good word for us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.